You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be here every week and tell your friends about us. Well, here we are, folks. The campaign seems like it's been going on for years, but we're getting down to the closing days of the campaign. And I want to share an event that happened, and it clearly is an event that can have an impact on the election. But I guess thinking about it and praying about it a little bit, as I did last night, this description I'm going to share with you of something that a couple of young Christians did really transcends the election. It's sort of a message to the rest of us about what is expected of us once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and are told by the Scripture to take up our cross and follow Him. Now, in a presidential campaign, and this one is no exception, there's a lot of really big stories. I mean, you have the stories of the debates. Remember, there was a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and Trump, I think everybody said, won that debate, and it helped force Biden out of the race. Then Kamala Harris got the nomination without anybody ever really voting for her, but that's another story. And they had a debate, Trump and Harris, and a lot of the analysts believe that she did really well. We've had a vice presidential debate. There's been some big name people that have made news, like Elon Musk. I think we're all a little bit surprised. Elon Musk is a big defender of the First Amendment, but he has gone all out now for the Trump-Vance ticket. He's traveling all over Pennsylvania, doing events, and he's donated a lot of money. Kamala Harris has a bunch of billionaire donors, and she's doing something that tends to be associated with more liberal candidates for office. She's got the endorsements of a bunch of movie stars and entertainers. I have to be honest with you, some of them are, I'm not sure I would want their endorsement for, you know, many of these movie stars and entertainers, because of what we know about their personal lives, their language, all the rest of it. But, you know, campaigns, these are the kind of people that make headlines. Oh, look at that movie star that supported Harris. Look at this billionaire that's campaigning for Trump. Look over here, look over there. But every once in a while in a campaign, just an average American ends up doing something in the campaign that can affect the outcome. The event will make news, but it doesn't affect the outcome. I remember when Barack Obama was walking along a line of voters in Ohio campaigning, and he gets to a guy named Joe, who was a plumber, and he shook hands with Joe the plumber, as the media referred to him. And Joe the plumber confronted Barack Obama about why working class people aren't doing all that well in America. And it was a real moment. Some people thought it was going to swing the election against Barack Obama. It didn't do that, but it certainly changed the tenor of the debate. Well, in the last couple of weeks, there was an event. It did get some publicity, and then it seemed to get buried with other stories. But I noticed recently that it's getting new legs. It's coming up more and more. More people are talking about it. There have been some additional articles written about it. And the two young men involved in this story are now beginning to get interviews on national television, most recently on Fox and Friends on Fox News. Now, let me set the scene. It's in La Crosse, Wisconsin. At the University of Wisconsin satellite campus in La Crosse, Wisconsin. For those of you that know a little bit of French, La means the, and crosse in French means cross in English. So this is a city that's called the Cross, the place where Christ died in order to save us from our sins. So Kamala Harris is campaigning in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of the three blue wall states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. A blue wall because blue is associated with the Democrat Party, but also three states in which there are a lot of blue-collar workers. And those three states, if they vote Democrat, almost always ensure that a Democrat will win the election. But when they, one or more of them, vote for the Republican candidate, then there's a pretty good chance that the Republican candidate will win the presidential race. So Kamala Harris is in La Crosse, Wisconsin, at the University of Wisconsin campus there, and she's speaking to a crowd of, I think about 2,500 people. In that crowd are two young men, Luke Pulaski and Grant Beth. They are both students at the University of Wisconsin, and they're pro-life. One of them had decided that he was going to vote for Trump. The other one, even though he was pro-life, hadn't made up his mind yet. So they go to this rally. They want to hear Kamala Harris. And so I want to play for you about a minute of what they were hearing in this rally, and then a little exchange that happened between Kamala Harris and these two young Christian men. Let's bring that up.
We remember Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Now, you certainly could make out what Kamala Harris was saying, and you could certainly hear the crowd. I think you probably were able to hear what the two young men did. Kamala Harris is just beating the drums for abortion on demand. This is, by the way, as I've said over and over again, the signature issue of her campaign. Not the economy, not the border, not fighting inflation, not staying out of foreign wars. None of those things that are at the top of the list for most Americans. Harris believes that her best path to the White House is abortion, 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 abortion. And you could tell from this brief clip, her voters are excited. She's talking about, you know, how bad Donald Trump is because he put three Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court that helped overturn Roe versus Wade, which was the Supreme Court ruling that guaranteed abortion on demand in America. And this was outrageous that he did that. And she's angry. The crowd's angry. And man, she's going to do something about it. All they have to do is elect her president. By the way, she has spent, the estimates are, somewhere between $300 and $500 million promoting in her campaign with ads and rallies abortion. Well, these two young Christian men are in the audience, and you may hear them. One of them yelled out, "Crisis King," and then you also hear one of them yelling, "Jesus is Lord." And man, Kamala Harris is not a happy lady. She looks over at them and she basically says, "You don't belong here. You're in the wrong rally. You're in the wrong place. You probably should be in the rally down the street, which is a lot smaller." Can you imagine what it felt like when those two boys heard that? So anyway, it got some publicity. There were a lot of upset people about it all, but then it kind of faded away. So the two young men, Luke Pulaski and Grant Beth, were interviewed on Fox and Friends, and they were asked in their own words to describe what you just listened to in real time as it happened. So here are the two boys talking about what that felt like from their standpoint. Let's play clip two.
I guess we could start off with when she talked about overturning Roe v. Wade and Donald Trump, I yelled out to the crowd that abortion is the sacrament of Satan. And when I said that, I deeply do believe that as a Christian. And about 10 seconds go by, and that's when the video of my friend Grant and I proclaiming that Christ is Lord and Jesus is King, when we said that. And I think it's important to say this is a small venue, and we were about 20 to 30 yards away from Kamala at this point. There's a lot of controversy that says she wasn't talking to us, or we left, we didn't get kicked out. Well, I can speak on Grant and I's behalf. On video, Grant's getting pushed and shoved. And there's about 5 seconds after or before she tells us to go to the smaller rally down the street. You can see on the video, she waves. She was actually waving to me. I took this cross off my neck that I wear. And as we were getting asked to leave, I held it up in the air and waved at her and pointed to her. And she looked directly in the eye, kind of gave me an evil smirk. And I just want to clear that up and confirm that she 100% was talking to us. Mm-hmm. And there's other controversy that says we left. We were getting shouted at, pushed, assaulted, screamed at. So we were walking away. But there was about three attendees there, volunteers, that kicked us out with badges or whatever they had. And I specifically remember this one man saying, "You were uninvited and unwelcome to this event. You need to leave."
A number of things jump out at me. First of all, one of the young men said, "Abortion is becoming a sacrament of Satan." Wow. I mean, a sacrament is something you do to show your connection to God. You're worshiping God. This young man, this young Christian, this is pretty deep thought, that if you're basically worshiping the idea of taking innocent human life, you're not performing a sacrament that God wants you to perform. You're performing a sacrament. You're showing your loyalty for something that pleases the father of lies, which is Satan. And there was something else here that I thought was really interesting. You know, sometimes you see these big rallies, and all of a sudden you'll hear some vague yell way in the back of the crowd. There might be 10,000 people at the rally, and the speaker who's speaking, whoever it is, may stop for a second because there's this disturbance in the back of the room, and somebody will get dragged out because they're disrupting the event. But this was a relatively small event. This was a couple of thousand people, and these two young men were up pretty close to the front of the room. And so when they yelled out, "Christ is King, Jesus is Lord," the one boy said, "Kamala Harris was looking right at me. She was staring right at me. She knew who yelled. When she told them to leave, to the joy of the crowd and the yelling of the crowd, when she insulted them the way she did, she was looking right at them." And then the one young man said that as they were being unceremoniously kicked out of the room, that the men that had grabbed them were saying, "You are uninvited and you are unwanted at this event." I keep hearing from the Harris campaign that they want Christian voters. In fact, the campaign has said that you can be a Christian and vote for her, and there's nothing in doing that that contradicts the Christian faith. Well, my reaction to that is you should talk to your pastor or maybe read your Bible, because it's very hard as a Christian to vote for somebody if the main issue they're running on is they want more abortions in America. Every unborn child is made in the image of God. Our whole country was based on that idea, that we are made in the image of God, and that because we're made in the image of God, we have dignity and value and worth. And we also have rights that come to us not from government, not from a government led by Donald Trump or a government led by Kamala Harris. The rights come to us directly from God. So when a candidate is elevating abortion above everything else. I wonder whether she thinks she's going to get Christian votes. She certainly knows that when somebody at one of her rallies yells out, "Christ is King, Jesus is Lord," at the exact moment she is promoting abortion and the crowd is loving that promotion of abortion, that that's not the type of Christian that she thinks she's going to get on Election Day. And, you know, I'm guessing that in that sense, she's probably right. So how could these two young men be this bold? I was thinking about that as I watched the video a couple of times. I mean, they're being a lot more bold than some pastors and priests are. How could they do that? Well, you know, in order to place myself in the shoes of the pastor or the priest, you know, if you're a pastor or if you're a priest, you're probably worrying. I'm not saying you should be, but you're probably worrying that if you really teach the gospel, some aspects of it might upset somebody sitting in the congregation who happens to be a big donor to the church. And so you kind of trim your sails, right? You got a big building program going on or something like that, and you're building a bigger facility to serve Jesus. And so you don't want to blow that by alienating some of your donors or losing members. These two young men probably don't understand at this young age how, for them, all they had to do is say what the gospel teaches and not worry about losing a donor. And that's what they did. In fact, they knew what they yelled was not going to go over in that crowd. But they boldly yelled it. And by doing so, look, they've sort of become heroes. They're being looked up to because they had the courage to speak truth to power. Well, as the interview went on, they describe in a little bit more detail and very briefly what they were experiencing after they yelled out that praise of Jesus.
We were heckled at, we were cursed at, we were mocked. And that's the biggest thing for me personally, in reflection of the event. Jesus was mocked, his disciples were mocked, and that's okay. In reality, we did God's work. And we were there for the right reasons, and God is watching us in this moment. I'm all about being a cordial person, no matter your beliefs, but I do believe that we were sent there by God.
These are young men, but with a pretty mature understanding of the gospel. We were heckled, we were cursed at, we were mocked, one of them says. And then he reminds us, because he's a follower of Jesus Christ, that that's what they did to Jesus. They mocked him. They heckled him. They cursed him. And ultimately, they put him up on the cross, where he died in order to forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life. So these young men knew it was going to be unpleasant once they yelled out, but the thing they did that immediately consoled them and made them feel good was that they weren't suffering anything like what Christ suffered, which ended in the cross. They were just suffering a bunch of people not liking them. And a probably very unpleasant walk out of the building. There was something else that jumped out at me. They said they had no doubt they were sent to the event by God. You know, Donald Trump believes when he was in Butler, Pennsylvania, that it was God who's whispered into his ear, "Turn your head," just before the bullet would have hit his skull. He believes that God saved his life. These young men believed when they got to the rally and heard all these people worshiping death, promoting death of innocent unborn babies, that God was whispering to them, "Call out my name." And they did it. And look, I think they might be missing something. I think they thought God was telling them to call out his name so the 2,500 people in the rally and Kamala Harris would hear the Lord's name while she and they were promoting death. I actually think what's happening here and why this might end up being a much bigger campaign moment is the country is hearing these two young men. Their exploit is spreading in newsletters and in videos and in debates, and the whole country is hearing that maybe Jesus wouldn't be pleased with America if we continue to destroy a million unborn children every year. That maybe Jesus wouldn't like it in the country he is so blessed if we end up having leadership that is more committed to destroying his creation than they are to doing anything else. Well, at the very end of the interview these two young men did on Fox News, they said this.
I said Jesus is Lord due to the abortion Roe v. Wade she was talking about, which me and many Christians around the world disagree with her stance on abortion. And we wanted to kind of send in a message that, you know, as Christians, at least me and Grant, we don't accept or agree with her abortion policies, and that we believe that Jesus is Lord and that he has the final say in everything we do. And it's something we center our life around. So I guess we wanted her to know that.
A very simple description. I did say, the young boy said, Jesus is Lord. We wanted to send a message. We wanted her to know that. Well, what can we get out of this as Christians, as adult Christians, as presumably Christians with a few more miles on our tires than these two young men that are, you know, just preparing themselves now to go out into life? You know, we extol here at the James Dobson Family Institute. We've been doing it for months. Dr. Dobson and me, in a variety of ways, have been doing it for years. We keep asking, begging, pleading the body of Christ to stand up in America. We can't be silent, have our light under a bushel, fail to be part of what's going on around us, and fulfill the gospel message of being light and salt. We're supposed to be a beacon to the society we live in. We're supposed to do exactly what these two young men did by standing up at an inconvenient time and maybe a little bit of a risky time and speaking the truth. Now, in a couple of days, the election's going to be over. And nobody listening to this between now and the election, we're certainly not asking any of you to take part in a demonstration or walk into the middle of thousands of people that aren't going to like you. I mean, about the only thing as a Christian you need to do between now and election day is walk into a voting booth where in privacy you will have a chance to utilize one of the most precious rights we have, a right that millions of people around the world don't have, the right to vote and choose who will lead you, who will govern you, who will make the decisions that deeply impact you and your family. So let's just resolve that between now and that election day, that we find just a little fraction of the courage these young men had. You don't even have to tell anybody who you voted for. You don't have to suffer any consequences at all. But I can assure you that if Christians don't show up in massive numbers, we all will suffer if the leaders that are elected because not enough Christians voted. But even after the election, whether it came out the way we wanted or that it didn't come out the way we wanted, if every Christian would post a story about these two young men on the mirror of their bathroom in the morning, or put a little note that you can occasionally read in your briefcase, or maybe put it on your desk where you pay your bills, reminding you of what a bold Christian witness looks like? Because if the millions, tens of millions of people in America that still say they are followers of Jesus Christ show the same courage as these two men did, America is going to make it through the years, I think dangerous years ahead. Well, thanks for being here at Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Keep reading up on the issues. Keep going to our website for the voter guides and the other resources we have. I was just with Dr. Dobson a few days ago. We're both praying. We're all praying at JDFI that Christians will do their duty and vote, and by doing so, help ensure that for our children and grandchildren, America will remain a shining city upon a hill. Thanks for being with us, and come back next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.